Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I got
the horse. Welcome back, everybody, to Judging Nerd Culture, where we talk about all the good and the bad parts of everything you love and hate. I'm Ollie.
And I'm Coop. And today we're talking about an unusual product, to say the least. So this is another we like to try to elevate indie stuff that we hear about and find out about or don't know about. In this case, I knew a little going in, and Ollie, I literally was just like, "Hey man, Horsemaster, go play this game," with sort of the intent of preserving the mystery. but this is advertised as a sort of horse management simulator game that is in the Twine engine, which for those not familiar basically just means it's mostly text that you just sort of click along multiple choice options or click on like highlighted words to get a little more narrative about them. But it's basically a novel in clickable, browser playable form.
Yeah, and once I got into it, at first I was like, all right, what a pro text nonsense.
Right.
And then I was like, oh no, this is the game.
Right.
And I was incredibly disappointed.
So if you know that something like that is like extremely not up your alley, then you know, here, have this episode about this game, because it's definitely something that's worth talking about. Like, I want to put a spoiler marker up front, just like we normally don't, but you know, or don't make a point of it, but just emphasizing that this is something you can play in like 20 minutes.
Yes.
And if a situation in which you go in reading words and thinking you know what they mean, but it turns out not everything is quite as it seems and that there's more going on in this horse simulator, just to clarify, this isn't like a horse romance simulator. Those are things that people make in the indie game circuit. This is not that era of like horse-based irony. This is its own thing. It's very much still an animal, you know. That's not a boundary this crosses in any way. But, you know, it is a surreal, pretty fucking, like, comically bleak. This is the intent. We'll describe, yeah, you know, how we personally feel about it. But, you know, in most other circumstances, I don't say this, but, like, you could just go play this real quick if you're at your computer and then come back and have a little more context about it.
So, for the majority of this game or little text adventure, little, you know, choose your own adventure type book,
right,
it's just you, character whose name is never really stated.
They imply that it's just you, like
just
you yourself, you know. They don't have you type in your own name or anything, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're at your horse dealership and they're prepping you a new horse.
Yep. Yep, they're organizing the horse. Right up front, it's very clear this is not going to resemble, I mean, you don't know the full extent of it, because there is an image of a cowboy riding a horse that you're presented with when the game starts. But, yeah, they're, like, creating an embryo inside a spherical nutrient broth that is the form in which you're going to take it home and put it in your bathtub. the horse dealer is extremely impatient with you because you're tweaking hard on dexopromazone or some nonsense like that, which is some futuristic drug, your addiction to which is kind of the central issue in this. Not that you come right out and admit it in your thoughts, but
there's so many issues going on.
Well,
with,
yeah,
poor,
yeah,
for you, mm-hmm, in this particular game. But yeah, you are able to choose which model of horse you
want.
Yeah,
the breed.
Yeah, yeah, which one did you pick? Do you remember?
I went for, okay, so one of them is like the Caledonia Coffin Breath or something like that. I was like, that seems a little, like maybe they mean an empty, like an unused coffin and just smells like, you know,
fresh wood.
That, you know, that wouldn't be so bad, I guess, but still, whatever one was in the middle, I don't really remember.
Yeah,
I remember the something Charger or something like that.
Yeah, I was having a hard time remembering too. I know it was the most angsty nonsense sounding one, the
sure,
Hellfire Fist.
Yeah, something. Yeah. The first one, I was like, you know, that seems more action packed. But to my There are multiple endings in this game. You can succeed or fail at this character's ultimate goal, of course, mastery. But, you know, I don't know how to the extent to which the breed affects that. It's probably just fun flavor.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. Otherwise, you could ruin everything from the very first click.
Right, right, right. And that's one of the minor nitpicks I have about this, which we'll get to in the final summations. But, you know, it's just like, if you do want to see another ending, it would take a pretty long amount of stuff you've already done to get there. Now, this is probably something that was made for, like, a game jam or something. You know, I'm not going to, like, come down on it that hard. You get the gist the first time you play. Yes. I'm sure you can read about the other ending somewhere else, but...
Yeah. And, before we go on, this was made by Tom McHenry?
Yes, Tom McHenry.
We got this from itch.io. It's, you know, it's another one of the games there. It's pretty fun. Mm-hmm. Or it's pretty entertaining to whatever extent it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't call it fun.
No,
that's,
definitely not.
And games don't have to be fun. That's part of the whole deal. This is not meant to be fun.
No. I got what I needed out of it and what was probably intended.
But Tom McHenry has a bunch of other what appear to be similar in length and probably in tone of experiences on his page that I'm gonna look into at some point in the future. A lot of them cost a buck, or, you know, you can always pay what you want on itch.io, but at least a buck. And those are probably a little lengthier than this, but as far as a taster, I'm like, yeah, okay, I can appreciate this guy's style.
Yeah, and if I had gone into this not knowing what it was and just seeing the cover and having to pay $1, I would have been endlessly disappointed. But knowing what it is now, I think it's worth a buck.
Well, would you have played a horse game anyway?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I don't know,
man. Mm-hmm. Like, to broaden my horizons, just a game where you are, I don't know, Henry McHorse?
Yeah.
And you...
Yeah, where you learn horse mastery.
Yeah, just like, all right, time to... whatever other horse word exists.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be fun. It'd
yeah.
be interesting. I dated a horse girl once. I sure. learned nothing.
We should clarify, a girl just with an interest in horses who rides horses.
That would be great, though. Centaur girl?
I disagree. but centaurs, if you're listening, you know, no offense. It's just like, I prefer to be the taller one in the relationship. You know, it's just, like, call me shallow. I'm sorry. It's just, you know.
But you can run. Never mind. Anyway.
Listen. We don't need to get. Okay. It eventually, like, you know, the very first introduction you have to your horse, who your character takes on an immediate affection and wariness, because, like in real life, horses in this universe are really terrifying and can kill you, like, easily if you don't mind, you know, your P's and Q's. But they, like, and it's never described and it's never depicted. There are very few images in this game in any way. Like, all you see is the one up front that shows a guy riding a horse, which, again, is not accurate in any manner.
and one of your apartment that you, you know, do all of this in for the majority of the time, and it looks, it's just 8-bit art, you know, pixel art or whatever. It looks dilapidated and horrible.
It is extremely just the rundownest, like, beat to shittest apartment of all time. And it's explicitly stated you leveraged everything you owned of any value and, like, your inheritance from your late father or whatever to be able to pursue this last ditch dream. Because if you win the grand prize, you're essentially set for life. But in the meantime, you've just sold everything in exchange for, you know, the food you're gonna need, the drug you're gonna need, and the horse caring tools. And the horse.
And the And at the very beginning, it starts to get a little confusing as they describe the embryo of the horse and the development of it, to the point where I'm just like, at the very beginning, I don't think that's what a horse... Those are words that describe a horse.
No.
So, but science in the future.
No, whatever. Yes, absolutely not. I could have believed that, like, you're getting a horse embryo that is just simply not being born out of a horse womb. Like a test tube horse baby, you know? It could have been a regular horse eventually, but, and again, it's never just like, it never tells you it looks like this, because in the narrative it's just giving you words from the world. Like, it just says, you know, like most horses, it's this. Yeah. Is like this. But I think what you're looking at is just a reprehensible crustacean. Like, it definitely has
Yeah, some shells, some tendrils, some, I don't know, mm-hmm. grotesque, monstrous features. But it does seem to clearly have leathery bits, fleshy parts, not just shell.
Mm-hmm.
So, fun.
They do refer to a mane, but the mane is actually just, like, squishy, fleshy, you know, tendrils out of the head and neck.
Exactly. But that's beside the point. As you get into your apartment, as you have your horse embryo, it's a nice egg or bean-shaped sack of flesh that apparently feels a bit like a severed breast,
mm-hmm.
just floating in free space. And you put it in your bathtub, regardless of the water shortage, mm-hmm. which...
Yeah, it is like, you know, you only occasionally get snippets from, like, oh, the news is playing as you are riding the train or whatever, you know, like, oh, you see a paper or something like that. Like, it is a super, like, fascist, you know, rationing, like, I don't know that if there's necessarily wars happening or whatever, but it's just like a, like, hyper-capitalist nonsense dystopia, it seems to be.
Yeah.
Like, and that's part of the whole point they're getting at is, like, you know, this guy is reduced to having to take this one shot of, like, you know, unless you become this world champion celebrity figure, you have no other possible, like, upward mobility in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Water ration be damned. You fill up the bathtub and
be damned.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a consistent theme of there's this resource that barely is available, but I'm going to use all of it for this one creature, for this thing, so that I can succeed, hopefully.
Yeah.
And you start right in. At this point, you get another menu that just says, here's what's going on today. Here's what's up in your apartment, how you're feeling today. And then you're given the ability to choose between... 7 options?
Yeah, it's like a few of them have kind of a branching option selection. I think it's like, you know, you can inject nutrients directly into the horse.
Yep.
You can feed it solid food, which many people never choose to do, but, you know, you have that option. it says, like, horses don't have to eat solid food, you know, because you just go right to the source. You can fuck off and watch TV, or you can just say screw it and go to bed, or like training, I think, is
grooming. Something.
Grooming, yes.
The option you're thinking about isn't training, it's macros. It's just pre-planned the things you would do, except it's pre-planned for you.
Yeah.
I never did that.
Yeah. Okay, maybe that's the secret sauce. You get this array of, like, okay, it's a horse simulator for, you know, this clearly creature that is alien to me, but, like, I'll try to raise it as best as I can, but obviously no real-world knowledge of horses will get you anywhere in this regard. And your horse has stats, but they're all, like, they're all just... You know,
nonsense
we got words. No strength, agility, or anything like that. It's not nonsense words, but it's like realness and pep and I don't know,
garishness,
something like that,
something like
or
that.
Glamorousness. Yeah, glamour. All things that it's like you don't know what this contest is, but your character does. So every time you're like, "Ooh, some more pep, that's good." It's like, I guess more pep is good. All right.
Yeah, I went through this section, and this is the majority of the game. Is this section really?
Mm-hmm.
And just alternated between the 4 that actually gave it stat boost. I only ever checked the TV out once, mm-hmm. and it said, you haven't paid anything, any bill, in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You have no TV.
That is interesting, because, like, and we talked about this a little bit in the green room, off camera, off mic, excuse me, but, if you do it early on, your TV still works, and you just get, like, I probably randomly generated, like, news stories of just, you know, like, Hyper Pope endorses fucking celebrity tennis shoes or whatever. Like, it's just, you know, capital, like, Twitter trending nonsense. But eventually, like, stuff, your shit starts to get shut down because, again, you're not paying any of your bills. And eventually it does, like, an option does show up to just, like, oh, yeah, I just downloaded this spreadsheet. here's a button to click that will run the optimum sequence of horse-raising things. And that's sort of the game telling you, like, hey, man, this isn't, like, this part doesn't actually matter that much, really. Like, you're just in it for the story, you know? Like, you know, it tips its hand at, this is a nonsense simulator that's just a joke. Here, you can speed through it if you want. So once I had that, I mashed that every single time. Because I wasn't playing in full screen, so I didn't realize, but it started cutting off the bottom set of options anyway. Like, I couldn't reach the grooming thing to click on it. And I was like, oh, is that the joke? Probably not, because you didn't have that problem. No. So I was just like, yeah, fuck it, I'll just roll with it, you know.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I chose not to due to, I don't know, I felt like it was the opposite of that, really.
Oh, sure.
I felt like it was, the idea behind it was just like, do the thing that you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what is expected. Use this spreadsheet. It will give you the best results. Mm-hmm. Or don't. Do whatever mm-hmm. you think is best. Do whatever you can mm-hmm. do. And try something. Put effort into it and emotional stakes.
Yeah.
So I did that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you still, you know, gave a shit. I was trying to, like, you know, these are both, I think, valid interpretations of the character of the horse master.
Yeah.
I was just like, you know, and you get increased, like, what the bit I was sort of, like, role-playing, so to speak, other than, you know, having my screen cut off, but that could have worked into it as well, was, like, as you advance, you just get flavor passages of, like, A, the horse growing and becoming more destructive and frightening as an entity in your home. Like, it never is actually aggressive towards you, but it's just, like, you know, training any animal except this one is, like, explicitly, you know, feared and dangerous by all living things for the most part. So, like, horses. And, but you also get, like, oh, you know, your teeth start falling out and your hair is, like, graying and, you know, you just, you, like, your wounds don't heal appropriately. Like all kinds of bullshit is happening to you because you've upped your dosage on this drug that is supposed to make you, like, hyper aware or something. Like, that's part of the horse training regimen, is you need to be dosed up to be, like, on the ball to do it. But it's just, like, it's clearly, like, debilitating you in your physical health. And apparently this is the standard of practice for horse masters. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, yeah, fuck it. Like, you know, I'm gonna do what I'm told and not have to think about it that hard and, like, being a manic, if that is, you know, yeah, anything to lean on. But yeah, I do like that event, you know, the TV eventually gets cut off, because I had stopped watching the TV by then, but that's, like, spooky foreshadowing. One thing that happens is somebody knocks on your door, and it's like, you have no idea what to do, so you just clip one hand over the horse's mouth and one hand over yours and wait for the knocking to stop. And I'm like, I'd do that anyway, you know, that's like, I don't have to be drugged up for that. That's just, that's hashtag relatable, am I right?
Yeah, that was a real interesting part. That's, like, before this, the entire time I was like, wow, this really sucks. This is a really shitty situation. And that's where, like, the sense of, this is desperate. Like, there is no other option. They weren't just trying to be what their dad was at one point. They're doing this because they will die or something.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I felt that part was pretty important in some respect. But this entire section only lasts a few minutes, to be honest. It's it gives you a date. It says in 21 days the horse master competition will begin, and around day, I don't know, like 14, 15, mm-hmm. you get evicted.
Yeah, I assume the person pounding on your door was your landlord.
Yes.
But yeah, you get kicked out, and all of your horse technology is seized from you. They can't take the horse. I doubt they could, even if they tried. But, you know, then you, yeah, are thrown out on your ass, and then it becomes I need to be homeless and not let myself or this horse die simulator for the last few days. And I was like, yeah, you know, bravo. I was not expecting that.
Again, you have text options, sort of like the previous days, to do certain things for the next X many days. Such as scrounging for food, mm-hmm. or you can just steal some, but that has inherent risk. More grooming, but it's really just, you know, throwing hose water at your horse.
Yeah.
Air quotes. Every time I say the word horse, It's massive.
You know, it's a, in another world, another rules. This is a horse. It's just like there is at one point when you are homeless that your character is like, you know, hey, if you tried to ride it, there's no way you'd be able to even jump up there. It's gotten really big. And then in parentheses, it's like, of course, everybody knows you should never, ever attempt to ride a horse. That's just hypothetical. And I'm like, yeah, okay. A nod again to the fiction of it all. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, I'd be curious to know what you did during this time.
I believe that my, like, when I was playing the game, I formed a perception about this, and then afterward I was like, I'm gonna look for some, like, reviews, see if anybody got anything weird to happen to them that wasn't what I got to happen to me. And, apparently you can get fucked over if you do shoplifting too much. I shoplifted every day. Like, every day you have multiple actions, so I shoplifted and would, like, do more conditioning with the horse or take a bath or whatever. But, like, every time, for the most part, it was just like, hey, you go in, steal a bunch of stuff, walk out just nakedly with all of it under your arms, and the clerk is, like, so goddamn depressed they barely can muster the energy to look at you as you leave, because, you know, they have been here all, literally all day. And, you know, I was like, yeah, that's a fucking, you know, I've seen that clerk before. I've been at that gas station. Like, that's reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I almost got in trouble once shoplifting, because it's the most efficient food gathering mechanism. And it was because there was one day in which I shoplifted twice in a row.
Oh, sure.
Maybe that
would do it.
I didn't get caught. It just says, someone noticed me and chased me out of the store.
Yeah.
But you got off scot-free.
Yeah. I think you can get arrested, and you also can die in this phase, I'm pretty sure, if you just don't get any food ever. Like, that is among the endings.
Yeah, that's why I stole twice in one day. Mm-hmm. Up until then, I hadn't eaten anything and only gave food to my horse. Mm-hmm. And was like, all right, the competition's in a day. I have to eat or I will die.
Yeah. Yeah, because whenever you get food by either shoplifting or just spending both your actions to scrounge garbage, which I did once and it didn't work, and I was like, all right, fuck that, I'm going back to the convenience store. But you either, like, eat it all for yourself or split it with the horse. And your horse stats and, like, state of health is now obscured to you because you don't have it, like, hooked up to the horse monitor anymore because all your shit got stolen. And one of your available tasks is to go to the public library to check your stats, which I think is, like, an interesting, like, oh, this exists in the world. Like, he's reading a monitor that says PEP 93. You know, that's fun. But,
I never did that for a couple reasons. Yeah. One, it takes the whole day, and I'd rather find food for it and me. And two, those stats mean nothing.
All of my stats were, like, close to 100, and they all start at, like, 1. So I was like, I assume this is fine. Whatever. But yeah, I did a little... I took a bath the night before, but in the meantime, I didn't care. I just got dirty and did mostly operant conditioning, which is, you know, whistle training with the horse.
I don't think I ever did that.
Yeah, I don't know if it matters. Like, we did talk about this ahead of time. You turned out better than mine, so maybe all that shit was just a waste. But
supposedly.
Yeah.
I found the parts where you shared your food with the horse pretty interesting in the way it describes it. As if you give it all the food, it just says you place the food down and you walk away to a safe distance.
Yes.
And if you split your food with it, I never ate the food all by myself.
Yeah.
But, when you split the food, you set down some for it and then run as far and fast as you can and eat right out of your hands as you try not to be mauled to death by your horse, apparently.
The, like, I want to emphasize, like, you know, we're telling all of this in, like, you know, just a back-and-forthy, casual kind of way. The prose, I think, is really good. Like, yes. You know, it doesn't waste any time. Like, all of the descriptions of things are, like, you know, unnerving and very purposely so. And, like, it is a very interesting dynamic between your character and the horse, because it never comes right out and says what you're feeling, because your, you know, just brain is addled extremely, like, by withdrawals at this point. But, like, you have some affection for the horse, like, you are bonded, but it is also, like, most likely to be, you know, you're bonding with the literal, like, last hope of your survivability. You know, it is a tool in some ways. You do get to name the horse, though, like, yep, you as the player, which I think any time they let you name an animal in a video game, it's like to spur on a little bit of that affection in yourself.
But, what'd you name your horse?
Chestnut. I named it after a horse I had in a tabletop game one time.
I recall.
Mm-hmm.
I named mine, this was very early on in the thing, and I still think I probably would have, even around midway, when I thought it would still become an actual game.
Yeah.
I named it Bored, because I was extremely bored.
Oh, okay.
And, that picks up, though. That changes.
Yeah.
It's not exciting, but it is interesting and a good read.
Right. And eventually you get to it's competition time, you know, you got no house, no problem. You've still got your shot. And I think you just walk all the way to the fucking stadium, you know, where it's taking place. Like, it gives some time frame, like, you know, hey, you get started at dawn and you arrive there right on time at like 2:30 PM or something. I don't remember exactly, but like, and again, you have nothing to ride to make this faster. It's just you and your horse walking there.
And I'm not sure what description you got, but as I was walking my horse down, the character, mentioned, I don't have my horse dress, my show dress.
Oh, yeah, your gown, yeah.
And you don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
But as you're walking down the road, they mentioned that the horse's eyes are blazing with, like, actual energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's a visual thing. It's a terrifying creature. You're walking down the middle of the street, and with whatever confidence you have, you just walk up to the market, and people lay it at your feet as an offering to you.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Because that guy's got a horse. So, you know, we can't... Fuck. I mean, like... And again, if someone walked into... If I was working at a place, and somebody walked in with a horse and was just like, you're going to give me this, partner, then I'd give it to him. Like, yeah. That motherfucker has a horse. Like, you know, but that is the type of status you command even in your pathetic personal state. And I remember that scene. I'd forgotten about it, but the ceremonial robes or whatever of the horse master.
Yeah, those are the only part of this little tale that gave me as like the reader any sort of like feeling of accomplishment was I created this horrifying being that seems to listen to me for some reason.
And your character is enthusiastic about it, too. But is mostly enthusiastic that they're going to finally be able to go back on their dexapromazone drip or whatever before, you know, the big game.
Yeah, it seemed to me, maybe we read it a little different, but it always seemed to me like they were a bit upset that they were on this drip. Like, they needed it, but they didn't want it.
Oh, maybe. I was like, you know... Yeah, it's hard to tell. Like, at no point is your character ever just like, I like this, I hate this. It just tells what you do and the manner in which you do it. But, like, you know, maybe I cast a different kind of thing on there. Like, in the beginning, you seemed enthusiastic to, like, I upped my dosage early. I'm just going to get ready early. I'm that kind of guy. But by the end of it, maybe you're resentful of it. You know, either of those could be something. Mm-hmm. But, it's competition day.
It is.
You know, you get checked in, they scan the teeth of your creature, and, you know, all of that checked out. We both, I don't know if it is possible to fail at the, like,
entry,
you know,
point.
Entry phase or whatever, but, you know, we both got through that.
Yeah, and once you do, you put your horse in a stable, and, like, your character remarks on the fact that they're a little worried.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've never spent a night apart, this creature that you've birth, basically, has always been around you, so you as a character are a little nervous about that.
Yeah.
But they give you some dexapromethol, so what do you care?
Yeah, you can just, you know, go to Snooze Town, sort of, in between. And I do appreciate, again, it's open to interpretation that it's like, you know, A, you're away from your baby, sort of, for the first, like, long time ever in its existence, in the 20 days you've known each other, and that this horse has grown to full size.
To monstrous size.
But also, it's like, I'm a little worried, because what if I'm out of sight and it immediately just starts killing people? Like, that was sort of what I read into it, was like, but still, that all works out okay.
And at this competition, you're able to talk to the whoever, and ask for some more of this drug, and you remark that they're not going to think anything of it. They're not going to think that you're a tweaker or this or that, mm-hmm. because so many of the people who come here need this.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just part of the job.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you go into your room and you shoot your... You put up an IV,
mm-hmm.
and you plug it directly into a port installed in your body.
Yep.
For this specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, people in real life have those too, but I feel like it's usually not for... for heroin. Like, you have a port for, you know, like, I don't know, more medical stuff than this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they describe being on this thing for the first time in a long time,
mm-hmm.
how they're more awake than ever, or at least more conscious of what's going on around them. They are thinking of tomorrow and every single step of the competition and every single phase and how well they will be able to do each individual part. And, I don't know. It was interesting because the time I've been playing it, it made it seem like the character was using this thing out of necessity, out of some sort of addiction or some sort of just societal norm that required them to do it, but never seemed like something they wanted to do or anything that really supported them. It was only in this part that it seemed like after X amount of time without it, through whatever withdrawals, having it re-injected into them gave them a sense of, like, safety or security or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That was impactful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, like, obviously, physically it does. Yes. I always got the impression of just, like, you know, at least by the time you get here, like, after the homelessness arc and so on. Saying arc makes it seem like it takes any amount of time. It's, you know, the homelessness minute. You know, it's like, even if you had, like, a resentment or something like that towards, like, this expectation before, by the time you get there, you're, like, too fucking desperate to, like, think straight about it, you know? And maybe in the beginning, there's, like, and there is this whole deal with, like, your father used to be a famous horse master and, like, you know, that maybe it's in your blood or whatever. Maybe it's literally in your blood, depending on how that stuff gets passed down, you know, dexo addiction or whatever the fuck. But in any case, we get into the actual competition. It's time. You are reunited with horse name.
And you go in, and the first competition, I'm not sure if yours was any different, was basically just people look at your horse and go, wow, your stats are amazing.
Yeah. I had very favorable stats as well. And the second portion is just, like, what I envision dog shows to be. Yeah, I can't watch them, and I never will, but, like, which is maybe what part of what they're getting at here. But, yeah. What did you say?
Dressage.
Dressage. Not corsage. That's different. Okay.
They just walk around in a fancy pattern.
Yeah, it's like, you gotta walk, and then you gotta gallop, and then you gotta sprint, and then you gotta stop on command, all that good stuff. And I had no problem with this, like, yeah.
And at this point, they're describing all of the other competitors' horses, and how the majority of them are dilapidated and horrifyingly malnourished, and barely even large enough to be considered an actual full-grown horse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, and I like that, you know, I like that it's not just like, oh, smug assholes show up with good horses. Like, it's not an underdog story. Apparently everybody else trying this out started with worse conditions than you had, which is, like, hard to imagine.
Well, the way that they've led up to it until now, they have the character has remarked that these people will never accept him or her as the winner,
mm-hmm.
because of their position, because of their addiction, because of this or that. And that was a genuine fear that they had in one of the sections, one of the little windows of the days.
Mm-hmm.
They remarked on how even if they make the greatest horse, there's a chance he might not win anyways, because...
Like, and it's all politics. I remember that. I had forgotten it when talking about it just now. So yeah, maybe like, yeah.
I took this as sort of being reassurance that the amount of effort and sacrifice you put into it worked out in your favor compared to people who didn't.
Oh yeah, maybe so. Maybe those guys just suck at horses.
Obviously, some probably did sacrifice as much as you and maybe even more and still got nothing.
Could be. Yeah.
There's no saying. There doesn't say anything.
Yes. But I believe this final portion is where our paths diverge. So yes. the final round of the horse mastery competition.
So I imagine the actual competition part is the same. The first of the final two, you have to tempt your horse and keep it under control.
Mm-hmm.
The character chops off their own pinky
mm-hmm.
and holds it to the horse to eat. And if the horse does, I'm assuming that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But my character commanded the horse to stand aside and mm-hmm. do whatever they were supposed to do.
Yeah, as did mine. The discipline was all there. And then it's like, oh, the nine-fingered judges all give a round of applause.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, anyone who's a judge has been through this.
But only once.
Only once.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Mm-hmm. So, do you feed it to the horse eventually?
I think that once the horse demonstrates discipline, they do get to eat the pinky, yes.
Whew.
Mm-hmm.
And, then comes the final part right. of the competition, in which, well, mm-hmm. you peel the horse of its armor.
Yeah.
And cut it to pieces
mm-hmm.
and serve it to the fucking judges to eat.
The bit that caught me up that you apparently didn't have a problem with, but like you have a knife, you like open up the horse's neck, and there's like a supposedly like a little nerve disc, like a plate somewhere yeah. in its neck. I pulled that out, and apparently the raising the horse properly was supposed to create like a symmetrical star pattern on that disc of like nerves, and mine was asymmetrical. So at that point, it was just like, oh, the crowd erupts into laughter, and it's not uncommon for somebody to make it all the way here only to earn such a ridiculous defeat. But then I was basically just run out of the stadium for, you know, daring to fuck up at this stage.
Mine came out perfectly symmetrical as I clipped all of its nerves off of his neck.
Yep.
So at this point, it can't feel anything, and it was perfectly symmetrical. The crowd cheered and hooed and hawed. And then I continued to butcher the thing I created.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, it's difficult to say that I had an emotional attachment, but I think I did. I think I felt genuinely mm-hmm. awful during this section of just, like, I knowing that in the mindset of this character, all of their hopes and dreams are set on this creature. Mm-hmm. And that required wanting this creature to be the strongest, most gorgeous, most capable thing that it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And that required putting every effort into that rather than into having a life or existing in any way sort of remotely comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, the last thing you have to do to it to have the opportunity, not even to for sure succeed, is to butcher it.
Yep.
Like, that was fucking awful.
Yep, yep, yep. And that's like a, you know, I don't know if this, I don't know enough about actual beast competitions to know if this is making a really grand statement about that. Obviously, people don't butcher their horses in real, like, horse shows or races or anything like that. But still, it's like, you know, hey, even if you, the only way you can be, like you said, the only way it can be determined whether you win or lose and whether you have blown your whole fucking life to get here is a waste or not, you still have to eliminate this creature that has, you know, protected you and earned you this gown. And like, you know, if you could lose and still walk out of here with a horse, that ain't so bad. But like, you know, my dude who failed had nothing, like, and had just taken out the last asset and the last, you know, companion, presumably for, you know, their entire life.
Yeah. So, tell me about what happened in your ending mm-hmm. after this point. What did they mm-hmm. say about it?
It was just like, you know, it was just like, you run out of the stadium, and it's like, you know, you can hear the laughter and the scorn following behind you, but, you know, you finally got to take your hit, essentially, that day, so you're so much faster than them, and you run and run until you get away, and that's it. Like, you know, I imagine you fall down dead within the same day. Like, there's no way, you know. It's...
yeah.
But it's not important after that point, because you fucked up, so see yeah. ya.
Mine said something along the lines of, you did it, you got everything you ever wanted, and your character seems to have a sense of dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're content with the fact that you'll never have to work another day in your life. You'll finally not have to worry about this drug that's been hounding your existence. but you no longer have the opportunity to dream or desire. You have nothing except luxury. And I was just like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought I won.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the intent of the story becomes clear that in either of these, what I assume to be the main endings, like, again, I'm pretty sure you can die if you fuck up too hard in the homeless phase. But other than that, you know, you might be able to get rejected at the door, but I doubt it. I don't really know if there's any combination of stuff to do that results in your horse having such terrible stats that you get kicked out. You know, maybe if you just go to sleep every time. Listeners, perhaps you give it a try if you feel inclined to still participate in this game. But just like, yeah, what a, you know, I mean, our instinct on Delta Cryptid Productions is to go to the Delta Cryptid class corner and say like, oh, this is, you know, the wealthy are, you know, just toy with people. Like, you know, how far will you debase yourself in order to be given the gift of, like, money to survive reliably and stuff like that, you know? That I think, is an element of it. I don't know that there's, like, a grand, specific political thesis this is giving. There's also definitely, I think, an element of, like, ooh, you thought you were playing a video game. Let me set this one straight for you real quick. This is not a character who can actually succeed.
No, I really liked the ending. I think it definitely had a tone and a thesis, for the most part, you know, ish, that we both definitely have jived with for the majority of our existence, which is eat the rich.
Oh, sure.
The new slogan of Delta Cryptid, just eat the rich. And I don't know, I felt it. I jive with what it said.
And the emotional payoff is totally there. Like, I was the same with you. I was like, oh, horse, like, you're a wretched thing. But still, it's like, you know, like, you can kind of spot a, you know, a sad dog movie, that genre, from like a mile away. And it's just like, I'm not going to fucking watch this. That dog's going to die and teach the people to learn a little something about themselves. But this has so much weird shit going on that, like, I was not able to detect that.
Yeah, I definitely expected more of a, I die, not my horse gets mutilated.
Right.
And, yeah, I don't know. It was a wild adventure. And, definitely the killing the horse is the most impactful moment. You know, this is the only thing that shows any sort of pride for what you've done. Like, this is the only thing you have any pride in.
Yep.
And you're destroying it for, I don't know, complacency.
Yeah.
It's distressing.
Yeah. Yeah. That even, you know, even when you win, it's just like, oh, cool. Like, you've still already expended everything in your life that could have made you, like, be able to be like a person, and, you know, uprooted it all and then just killed the last vestige of, like, what you were working on, and now, you know, left with nothing, even though you have things, is like, yeah, very, very poignant. Like, this is a, you know, again, listeners, if you feel like you want to check this one out now, you know, you're more than welcome to, but we have already told you a lot of what happens in it. This is a much more comprehensive summary than we typically go through,
but it's a very short game.
Yeah, it's a very short game, so, you know, your risk reward on that is not so bad. I knew there was a little bit of, like, I had heard of this game ahead of time and was scrolling through Itch trying to find something neat to do for the show, and I was like, oh yeah, this is something, right? And I knew that all I really knew was that, like, it says horse, but not really. And Ollie didn't even have that going in. But so I think it might be best experienced raw, but I don't know. I am satisfied with my situation on it as well. We sort of back-ended into final summations, but let's get into finaler summations.
Yeah, let's wrap it up with our overall opinions.
Hang on. Self-promotion corner. I didn't have a joke. I was just like, you know, let's debase ourselves for our vain pursuit of resources. But that's not really what we're like, you know, we have better lives than this horseman. I have no thematic thing in which to tie in the self-promotion corner. I'm just like, hey, let's remember to do it.
Yeah, well, maybe if you have enough money, so we could get a horse.
Oh, goodness. The crypto, the super horse.
Again, there's probably some copyright.
No, I don't know. They can't copyright a horse. If we just get a horse and name it Crypto, they can't do shit about that.
That's true.
The Horse Commission and the Comics Commission aren't going to team up and come after us. That's a video game, though. But in any case...
let's not promote.
If you want to go to patreon.com/deltacryptidproductions, even $1 a month would be a huge, huge deal for us. We, you know, have got to keep the podcast train rolling both financially and physically as ourselves. Having income is a great help, but you also get stuff for it. At the $3 tier, you get bonus episodes. That's like, you know, it tends to be the one I emphasize because it's a lot of bang for your buck. We will do a remix about each episode of Judging Nerd Culture and put our own spin on it. And we get a little freeform and a little jokey, and it's a good time. We always have a great time recording them. People who listen like them, and you will too. What else can they get?
They can get the opportunity to have us say things they want us to say. They can get a message out to whoever they want for whatever purpose. As long as it's not racist and obnoxious, mm-hmm. I'm willing to say it.
One thing that I am going to say while we're here in the self-promotion corner is do a quick dip into the other promotion corner. We have two new number one folks. And this was from a while ago. We record these out of order. I've already spoken to them in real life to let them know, like, hey, if you guys haven't heard your shout out yet, you know, it's coming. We just gotta, you know. But my cousins, Connor and Shannon, thank you so much for backing us. I should specify cousin and cousin-in-law. If I just later say they're married, that could come off weird if I don't, like, you know, my cousin, Connor, or my cousin-in-law, Shannon. I think it's very appropriate we're giving them a shout-out in this episode because this is exactly the kind of sense of glum humor that I think both of them really appreciate. So, hey, you two, find this game and give it a shot. You know, it's pretty neat. But thank you so much for backing us. I hope you're really enjoying your stuff. And, you know, if you, anyone else wants their name said, you know, even if you're not related to us, we'll say, hey, thank you. Or if you don't, that's fine. Send us a message or something. We won't, you know. I have an okay from them to shout them out. Anyway. Sure.
But yeah, you can also just get a message out to whoever for whatever purpose you want. You want to promote a thing, we'll do that for you. It's only about $5 or is it $10? I forget.
I think $5 is the we'll read what you write for us to read, essentially. Yeah. As long as it's not Nazi bullshit, you know, come on. But yeah. If you've listened to us thus far and still don't get that we don't, like, roll with that stuff, you know, that's very dense.
Then there's also the chance to demand that we play a certain game or read a certain book. Meh. Okay, books are a little long. Give us something more.
You can demand something that we can reasonably prepare for within, like, a couple of weeks.
Exactly.
While still having day jobs and stuff. But if you don't want us to have day jobs anymore, go to patreon.com. Anyway.
Yes. And the last thing is that you can recommend the thing and also be a part of that episode or whatever episode you want, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, join us on anything. You could mandate we do an episode and then join us for a different one. That's fine.
It's acceptable. Mm-hmm. But yeah, other than Patreon, hit us up on Twitter at Cryptid Delta, on Instagram at Delta Cryptid Productions, on Facebook. Any social media will probably be on there eventually. Mm-hmm. We would also really appreciate if you could imagine in your mind some Sarah McLachlan just really flaring up here, because mm-hmm. we're making a plea. If you could just, for no dollars a day, go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review, it would help us immensely.
Oh, yeah. Just think of those sad horse commercials. But don't you want to adopt giving us a review?
Exactly.
Costs you nothing.
Costs you nothing. All right. Well, thank you for that, and keep your ears out for some more, I don't know, announcements in the future about websites and new projects and whatever else that's coming along the way.
Yeah, we stay doing stuff.
Exactly. All right, let's get back to the review. Mm-hmm.
Let's go into finaler summations. This is one of the, like, of things we reviewed on this show, this is the most in its own medium. Like, it could very well be that in the future we review other things similar to this, but this is definitely, like, stands on its own. Like, I don't have any easy comparisons. I'm like, oh, Horse Master is just like Afro Samurai in this way, you know? But, like, I think I'm happy that this exists. It is not a positive or enjoyable necessarily. I mean, in it for abstract definitions of enjoyable, but you know, my animal brain is just like, oh, this is so sad. Must we continue? you know, you want to, like, the prose is really good. It's just conjures such a specific miserable feeling that is like, you know, gets more and more relatable by the day in some weird ways. You know, the soul selling, money grubbing, like, vibes to it, but
I had been playing this just before, well, yesterday was my exam, so I played it the day before, and I had, you know, prepared for my exams as much as I could. Like, there's only so much you can physically cram into your head a day before, so I just did other stuff, and every once in a while checked in on my notes to make sure I remembered certain things, and then I played the game. And, like, I was feeling not, you know, the most upbeat, because, you know, I had a big, like, oh, if you fail this, you're fucking fucked. So I was a little anxious, a little nervous, but for the most part, my day was okay. I was feeling great. Afterwards, I felt horribly depressed and kind of hateful towards the world.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll sway you, you know. This is a mood dropper.
Yeah, if you're having a day where you're just like, it's not bad, but like it really is on the edge because it's not whatever. Mm-hmm. This will take you down.
Yeah,
it'll make you feel just duh.
No, like I don't still feel that way. No, the kind of thing that you eat and digest, and it's horrible, but then you get its nutrients. You know,
yes, it'll pass right through you within a couple hours, like a good taco.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. And
horse taco.
So,
is there a specific, okay, you know how deer meat is venison? Is there a term for horse meat? I've been out of the meat community for so long, I couldn't tell you, you know, up and down.
I could not say.
Okay, I don't know. Listeners, write in. Put it in your iTunes review. 5 stars. Yes, it's called this. Or horcizo. I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry. Please continue.
Are you making a joke on the word chorizo?
It wasn't good.
I'm aware. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, it does an impeccable job of making you feel a certain way. It does an impeccable job in the writing of its prose and in its creation of this world without having any description of the world, really, other than just the state that you exist in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty damn good. My biggest thing is, again, I was expecting a game, and you don't play this. You read it and hope that you pick the right buttons.
At the risk of inviting the what is playing, like, semantics piece into this podcast, which listen, back vampire, we don't want you. You're not invited. You cannot enter our home. Just clearing that up. But, like, you know, yeah, it is, there aren't really systems here. There must be at least a little bit, because it determines whether you win or lose. But,
yes,
again, the ending you get, you are still given a, you know, you have a complete sense of the story, regardless of how it turns out for you. Like, you know, it's not really testing you at all. The gameplay elements are just more there to be vehicles for jokes than anything else, which I think they work for that.
Yeah, and I do understand that as a game, it has more, impact in that if you chose not to do the macros, you spent each day, each of the 20 days, which again, 20 minutes, just clicking groom, eat, or groom, feed, nutrients.
Right.
Blah, 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 constantly.
Yeah.
And I could see that being sort of like a thing that ingratiates you into this game, into this horse itself, to have some sort of stakes in its position because you went through that. But it's so limited that I find it more akin to, again, a choose-your-own-adventure book where you go, all right, which option did you do? Were you the diligent one? Were you the one that did this? Or were you the one that did that?
Yeah.
And you turn to that page.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pretty much. The main thing I think that this gains from, other than obviously how easy it is to access, is helped by it being a thing you can just play on your browser.
Sure.
Typing in naming the horse is not something you could do in a paper book, unless they Mad Libs'd it, which would be distracting, I think, to the point. That's the key interaction to me. Otherwise, it's just, you know, varies up the pace at which you read stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially.
Yeah, and, I mean, there was some I don't know, effect to the fact that you could click on random words that were highlighted and then get a little more glimpse into what's going on and what you're feeling or what you're thinking. And that's a little harder to do in a book as well, but I don't know. I just always, again, this isn't a me thing. I'm a lot less geared towards these smaller projects as far as video games go. I'm more of a, I don't know, Flash kind of guy.
Sure.
Not animation specifically, mm-hmm. just flashiness.
Yes.
Kind of fella. So something this low in that respect, like it's not low quality, it's low flashiness. It's it's doing everything it can to contain what it is into just this one thing, and that's not usually something I go for, but I do respect it and I appreciate it for what it is.
I do think that the deception of the name Horsemaster, a game of horse mastery, or excuse me, the game of horse mastery, I do, like, that is meant to create the twist, but, you know, like, I went into it having read the bio and stuff. You might have just been like, oh, Coop sent me a game. Let's do it.
I did. You know, I did and not again, read the bio at all.
The framing of that is, you know, kind of its own thing. But, you know, ultimately, yeah, it is a little like, to me, maybe 15 days rather than 20 might have been the better way to do it. I don't know. But,
I didn't really mind the days thing. Like, eventually it was kind of like, meh, just doing the same thing over and over again. The homelessness part was kind of interesting. The intro was kind of a difficult part for me. Mm-hmm. Like I said, that's where I typed in bored. Because I was right. So I got the joke, these horses aren't horses. Mm-hmm. They're something.
Yeah.
And then it was just, I kept reading, kept going through, and I was like, when is it going to get to the part where I play the game? And
It is, I think, of the parts of the narrative, like the intro, the horse raising, the homelessness, and then the final competition. Like, that intro part is, I think, the least, like, you know, they do need to set the tone somehow, but, you know, that I agree probably could have been pared down a little bit. If we are finding nitpicks, that's where I'll pick it.
That's definitely, the one nitpick part of it is just the beginning was less good, but it does get, like, each chunk gets better. The house part, the part in your apartment, much better. The homeless part, pretty substantially better, and the ending is phenomenal.
Yeah, and, I mean, like, again, you can play this entire thing in, like, less than an episode of television.
We've definitely talked about it longer than it took to play.
Oh, yeah. We've talked about it approximately triple its actual length. That's, you know, that's the whole, you know, that's the review side of things. But, you know, suffice it to say, I'm happy this exists. Like, it is good that Horse Master, the game of horse mastery, is a mine waiting out there for people to step on and be exploded by it in a in an intellectual and emotional sense. And I'm into it. So, agreed. Tom McHenry, thank you for your efforts.
Indeed. And any listeners out there, go give his stuff a try.
Yeah.
There's a few free stuff, like we mentioned, and there's some that are just a dollar. Mm-hmm. This is, if, you know, knowing what it is going into it, I think definitely worth a dollar.
Or, yeah, play some of his other games and then go back us on Patreon to make us review them.
That'd be great.
It would be one of the few situations in which your Patreon contribution is well more than enough for us to be able to afford to buy the topic of our review. In any case, I'm going to go ahead and extend the question I always extend. What, Horsemaster Ollie, have you learned today?
Today I learned that if at every turn you debase yourself, then you'll be rewarded.
Oh, great.
That's what you're supposed to learn, right?
Yeah, apparently so. Yeah, what I've learned is that, you know, as long as you just, like, the best way to succeed at anything is just print off instructions from the internet that someone else already figured out and just do that stuff. Like, you know, don't fuck around with, like, making your own, whatever. What's the point?
Yeah, what's the point?
What's the point, listeners? Have a good one.
Yep, goodbye.